Psalm 18:18-19. They prevented me, that means anticipated to come and oppose. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. Say calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Well, delivered me from this calamity, delivered me from this opposition, is what he's talking about. And he didn't just deliver me and bring me back out of that to the place I was before I went into that. You got to read very carefully what he said right there. He didn't just deliver me so that I was back where I started at my starting point, whenever I went into this calamity, he mentioned, and this opposition. He said, I actually, whenever God was done with the deliverance, he said, I was in a large place. I like it. Now go to Psalm 31. We're going to see this pattern of David's life over and over again. The statements he made. Psalm 31 verse 8. Keep ready. We're going to be going to a lot of scriptures here at the beginning before we jump in. Psalm 31 8. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. So notice that. He's talking about the enemy coming against him. You've not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Notice the language there. You've not shut me up. Shut me up. In other words, you know, that means a small, enclosed place, a restrained place, a limited place. You can't go that way. You can't go that way. You try to go this way, you don't have the money. You try to go this way, you don't have the favor. You try to go, and it's just a small. You have not shut me up in a small, restrained, limited place where the enemy had his hand blocking things on every side. Come on now. But you set my feet in a large room. Say large. That's a verse, I mean, that's a word we saw in the previous verses in Psalm 18. A large place. God believes in big things and unrestrained places. Now go to Psalm 118. We were in Psalm 18. Let's go to Psalm 118 and look with me at Psalm 118 verse 5. Write these down. Psalm 118 verse 5. All right, Psalm 118:5. I call upon the Lord. What is this, a good time? No, in distress. What time is he talking about calling unto the Lord? In a distress time, a time of distress. The Lord answered me. And what did he do? Set me in a large place. Woo! Set me in a large place. I told you, God believes in big places, unrestrained places. Now, I'm not just talking about spiritually, although spiritually is one thing he wants to bring us out into large places. But how about large favor? Large doors of opportunity? How about large amounts of strength and large amounts of favor and ability and wisdom and answers and finances and just a whole lot of big stuff. I called on the Lord in distress. Psalm 81. Go to Psalm 81. Just in case you're wondering if he really meant it. Psalm 81 verse 10. Or just in case you thought this only happened once in the psalmist David's life. Psalm 81 verse 10. I am the Lord, God's speaking through David. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open it wide. I just couldn't pass that verse by. I had to get that one in there. Open it wide. Big. Make a lot of room. Actually, you look at the word. You look at the word wide, and it literally in the Hebrew means make room. In other words, bust the walls out, put an addition on the house. Make room. Why? Bigger things. God's got bigger things he wants to do. But he says we have to make room for it. There's a lot of things God wants to do in our lives, but we're not walking, we're not big enough on the inside. We don't have room for it. You know, my cup runneth over. You remember that? Well, God, it's running over. Stop pouring. I can't catch it all. And God says, that's not my fault your cup's too small. Psalm 23, you remember? My cup runneth over. God's pouring and pouring his blessings. And you say, wait a minute, wait, stop. God's running over. He goes, it's not my fault your cup's too small. That's just me. I'm more than enough.
That's right.
I'm more than enough.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's saying to us, make room and you'll see larger things. All right. Now go to Psalm 4:1. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 1. If you can handle another one. Psalm 4, verse 1. This is my favorite one. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Say that out loud. Thou hast enlarged me
when I was in distress.
In other words, a small, restrained place. Limited. Couldn't go this way. Couldn't go left. Couldn't go right. Couldn't go over the wall. Couldn't tunnel under it. I mean, you run forward and you become a member of the First Church of the Flat Faces. And so he said, you have enlarged me when I was in that place of distress. Now listen to the Darby translation, D-A-R-B-Y, Darby. It says, in pressure, thou hast enlarged me. Oh, ooh, 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 ooh. If you only knew how that verse has blessed me, that translation has blessed me. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me. Say that out loud. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me. Say that again.
In pressure,
thou hast enlarged me. One more time. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me. So what is God saying to us? You know, he's telling us what we can have when the devil comes against us to try to restrain us or hold us in smaller places. If we'll have faith, if we'll use our faith, places of restrained abilities, of restrained movement, restrained favor, small finances, small strength, small mindedness, small, little places. If we'll use our faith, those places will be turned into large places. And whatever the devil tries to bring against us to hold us in small things, this is what we can have if we'll use our faith in the middle of it.
Amen.
This is something you and I need to, I've told you over and over again, the Lord's told me to tell this congregation that whenever things come against them, that's an opportunity to take ground.
Amen.
That's an opportunity to take ground.
Amen.
Don't see it as, oh man, again, why me, you know, and so forth and so on. You see it as an opportunity. People of faith see these times as an opportunity. And we're going to spend some time looking at this tonight. Because a lot of Christians don't think right about it. Now, David knew what he was talking about. Because he went out to where Goliath was threatening the whole army of Israel. And Israel would go out and they'd run into the fear that Goliath was putting out. And they would run into that and back up. They were being limited in forward movement. Now, in this case, it actually wasn't Goliath that was limiting them. It was the fear. So there are things inside sometimes, and then other times there's things outside that limit Christians, that limit what they're able, what they're moving into. Not able to move in, but what they are moving into. You realize what I'm talking about? The thing that held Israel back from taking Goliath was the fear. The Bible said their hearts failed them for fear. And so fear will try to shrink you down on the inside. It'll try to restrain you. It'll try to hold you like a dog on a leash where you go so far and you get jerked back. Fear will try to do that. And God's saying to us, he wants us out of these things. And he's telling us what is available when we get in that kind of a place. Amen. David knew what he was talking about. Amen. He had to go through Goliath to get to the throne. The throne was an enlarged place. But Goliath was trying to restrain him back and hold him back from that larger place. Larger influence. Larger command of larger things. You understand what I'm talking about? And so David had a spirit of faith, and we can see that because of the pressure that comes from the enemy that tries to restrain you in movement. You ever felt that way? You're trying to move, and you just there's things on every side trying to restrain you. Lack of favor, lack of funds, lack of strength, lack of whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
it restricts movement and freedom of movement.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a restricted, limited place.
Yeah.
And so whatever the enemy brings to try to do that, God is telling you there is a larger place that he can get you into if you do the right thing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so each of these verses that we read in Psalms, there's mention of an enlargement, but in each case, this enlargement is mentioned in the context of words like distress, like trouble, affliction. In fact, if you read, we took these verses, just single or two verses at a time, but if you look at the context before and after these verses, many times he talked about trouble or distress or affliction or some sort of word like that. And calamity, we see calamity here, and distress we see here. But these verses always talking about enlargement, but in the context of restrained pressure of the enemy. How many of you know the enemy comes to press against you? That's what it means in Matthew 11, verse number 12. You remember it says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. So when it says it suffers violence, you look up the word violence, and really the best word we have in the English language to translate violence is the word pressure. The kingdom of heaven suffers pressure.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And those that press take it by force.
Yes.
That's what he means with the violent. Take it by force. He means those that press.
Yes.
Right.
It takes a press. Nothing falls on you or just falls into your life without a press.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. And so when he says the violent take it by force, he's saying the those that press possess. Not those who sit back and sing kumbaya.
Come on.
Amen. There's going to be, you're going to be opposed when you walk by faith. When you start hearing the word and the word starts coming to you and you decide, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to receive what I see in God's word. I'm going to walk in that and I'm going to have that in life. It's not going to be the way it used to be for me.
Yeah.
You are going to encounter something you have never encountered before in your life.
That's true. Come on now.
Walking by faith is opposed by the enemy. Getting into your enlargement. When you hear the word, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, it says the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, and then they heard it. So that lets us know what the word has given us for. It's to profit us. And I'm not just talking about finances, although that'd be a part of it, but any of the word profits any area of our life. And so when the word starts coming to you to profit you and to cause you to get into enlargement in some area of your life, some area where it's been restrained, you've been in a small place, God wants to bring you into an enlargement, you're going to be opposed. You're going to encounter something. I can guarantee you, every person that's ever started coming to Spirit of Faith Family Church, started getting the real true word of God, they started encountering something they've never encountered before. Some of you are encountering it right now. We got some verses for you tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is your opportunity.
Yes.
The devil wants to back you out of what you're hearing, what you're believing, the new stand of faith you're taking. He wants to back you out of it, and he's got to get you unhooked from that word, unhooked from that faith, because get you unhooked from it, he is going to get you unhooked from the enlargement. You ever read 2 Corinthians, where it talks about the Apostle Paul talks about there in, what is it, 16, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 9, I believe it is. He said that by the doors of, there are many adversaries. A great door was opened unto us. That's 1 Corinthians 16, right? A great door was opened unto us, and he said there are many adversaries. Great doors have adversaries by them. Amen. Think it not strange. Don't think something unusual has happened to you that nobody encounters or has ever encountered or would ever understand. People get into spiritual pride. They encounter these things and they say, well, you know, nobody's going through what I'm going through. That's against the word of God. No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. People have been where you are and worse and made it. And you can make it. All the bombarding thoughts opposing your mind, all the pressure to take thoughts of giving up, giving in, casting in the towel, going somewhere else, leaving, quitting the marriage, quitting the job, quitting this, quitting that, and backing up, all those things are designed to get you to back out of your enlargement. To get you back out of your enlargement. Somebody say, what kind of enlargement? Well, you fill in the blank. Amen. You fill it in. Hallelujah. And so this lets us know what you can have when the devil comes against you like this. In this pressure. When I'm talking about pressure, I'm talking about bombarding thoughts. As soon as you take a stand of faith. I had a man one time, he came to me in healing school. He said, I must be doing something wrong. I said, what do you mean? He said, I came to healing school and started realizing the need to believe I receive, that I have it now. Receive my healing, have it now. He said, I started doing that. And he said, I am having tremendous attacks against my mind. Tremendous amount of thoughts coming to my mind that says, you don't have anything. You don't. What are you believing that for? And just an amazing amount of number of thoughts. He said, I must be doing something right. I said, welcome to Faith 101.
Yeah.
Welcome to Faith 101. This is par for the course.
Yes.
And if you're not willing to fight that, then just do without. You hear me? Then just do without. I'd rather do without. Well, then you stand before the Lord and give an account for not receiving what God has for you, because there's more. This has more to do. This doesn't just have to do with you. It has to do with all the people you're going to be able to help. If you really press through some of this stuff and get to the other side into your enlargement. Amen. It could be in the plan of God for your life and ministry, a greater anointing, more revelation, a greater freedom in your mind, greater freedom in your home, greater freedom in your finances, whatever it might be. Getting into your enlargement will help a lot of folks besides you. And so this opposition, it's designed, it comes against you, this pressure comes against you in the form of thoughts, but it also comes with an influence. It comes with an atmosphere, an oppression. See, many Christians don't understand what this stuff is, but I'm here to kind of help you tonight. It comes with not only thoughts, but feelings. Sometimes your body even picks up on the feelings. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're looking at me in the eyes and you're saying, I know exactly what he's talking about. It comes with an influence. It comes with these feelings. It comes with an atmosphere. And it's all that atmosphere and the environment and so forth. These things come to try to reinforce the thoughts that are coming. To say, these are absolutely true. These thoughts. You know what I mean? You are in the wrong church. You are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong marriage. You are, and he'll keep making suggestions. You are a failure. If you had faith, you wouldn't be, if you had faith, you wouldn't be experiencing all this. If you had faith, you'd be seeing the results. If you had faith, and he's making suggestion after suggestion, and he'll say, you are a failure in faith. You may as well quit. And all those things come with feelings to validate what he's saying. Those thoughts come with feelings. That's the pressure. That's the pressure. And sometimes people will speak up for the devil and talk for the devil and say things that try to pull the rug out from under you, get you to give up. And you have to learn to fight that good fight of faith and defy the pressure and get to your enlargement. Amen. Because these verses are letting you know what you can have. If you'll fight the good fight of faith. And they're also letting you know how to think concerning times of pressure. Because your mind will tell you that you're being shrunk down to smaller things right here. You can go through a season of financial pressure and the devil says, now this is going to be the way it is from now on. I mean, you know, you messed up and you made the wrong decision and you got yourself in a pickle. And so this is the way it's going to be. And he's trying to shrink your thinking down, shrink you down on the inside, shrink your spiritual capacity down. He's trying to cause you to back up rather than get into your enlargement. You know what I'm talking about? To think smaller, to think more limitedly, to think, this restrained place is the way it's going to be. Amen. So, but God says, if you'll do the right thing, you'll get into bigger things. You understand that? So, these verses are telling us how to think in opposition. And these things come in seasons. And Jesus encountered two seasons that we have record of. There was opposition against him all the time, but there were two intense seasons that we have record of when Jesus walked this earth that great pressure came against him to not move forward into some sort of enlargement God had for him. One was right after he's baptized of the Holy Ghost in Jordan River. He was out in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of the devil, and he was under intense pressure, intense temptation to be in doubt, to not follow through with the plan of God, and so forth and so on. And the Bible said he kept answering, it is written. It is written. And he kept passing that test. And because he did the right thing in that time of pressure, he came out into an enlargement. What's that enlargement? Well, that entire earthly ministry. All those miracles in the Gospels, all those accounts of healings and all the utterances of the Word of God that we have record of, all these things that happened on his earthly ministry. And that was God's plan for him, that enlargement, because, you know, he lived on this earth for 30 years without any of that. But as soon as he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on him, there came intense attacks of the enemy to back him out of an enlarged influence on this planet. And then he got to the end of that, and it was time for him to fulfill the next thing God had for him, and that was, in his case, to die and redeem mankind, take the sins of man and all the curse and take them on himself and pay the price. He became the substitute. He became he identified with what we were and became all that we were so that we could have all that he was. And so it was time for that, and he encountered another intense season of opposition in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? The Bible said it was so intense that he, resisting the temptation to give in and say, I'm calling those 12 legions of angels to get me out of this. Resisting that temptation to do that and to get out of that, he was under such pressure and such, thoughts to back out of that, and resisting that caused blood to come out of his pores. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews, you haven't resisted yet unto blood, standing against sin. Amen. We gave in a long time before that. You know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
So, these are two times in Jesus' life that we have record of. I believe there was a lot coming against him the whole time. But in both cases, Jesus, because he didn't give in, he got into an enlargement. Yes, he went to the cross. Yes, he died. But after he was raised from the dead, on the other side of that was a big enlargement. King of kings, Lord of lords. Glory be to God. He got into his high priestly heavenly ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah, where he ever lives to make intercession for all of us. And so many more things, you understand. But so it was really in both cases, the pressure of the enemy against Jesus looked like a time of shrinking him down and reducing him and backing him up out of what he already had. That's what it felt like. Believe me, you got to understand the way these things feel. They feel different than they preach. You can stand up and preach this, and you can just shout and say amen. But then when it comes, you got to actually, there's feelings that come with this stuff. And the temptations and the pressure against your thought life and so forth. And Jesus stood against both of them. He stood against the pressure. He stood against the thoughts. Hallelujah. And in both of those seasons, because he stood, he got into his enlargement. Are you following me on this? Because he stood and he responded correctly. The enemy sees places of enlargement ahead of you. And he will oppose you. And sometimes you don't know what's going on. I'm telling you tonight what's going on. You're either getting into an enlarged degree of revelation in the things of God, or an enlargement of favor or ministry or opportunity or the next stage of God's plan for your life, or enlargement financially or something. So when these things come, see them as that's exactly what's happening right here. Don't think wrong about opposition. Amen. See it as an opportunity. An opportunity to take ground. Not too much shouting going on tonight. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to see that. He wants you to think wrongly about these things. But that's absolutely the truth. I've gone through certain seasons of intense pressure. And I didn't know what was going on a lot of times. Your mind will start tripping out sometimes. What is going on? All hell is breaking loose. What is going on? And if you're not careful, your mind will start going, running, you know, panic runs and just trying to figure out what's going on, And listen, it'll start, if you're not careful, your mind will start tripping out. And when you're grasping like that and your mind doesn't understand something, it starts grasping for answers. And let me tell you, God's got your answers. But the enemy is standing by and he wants to give you an answer. And he'll make suggestions that shot at your mind like machine gun bullets. All sorts of suggestions. I'm talking to somebody tonight. And when those thoughts come, this is where panic attacks come from. This is where all sorts of mental problems and emotional problems come from. Because people aren't trained that, yes, standing in faith is your victory. But also, you know, when you stand in faith, we need to not just preach faith, but preach the opposition. Not to glorify it, just so people don't think it's strange. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. I'm glad you all started helping tonight. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. This is the verse I've referred to a couple times. I want you to see it. I want you to write it in your notes. Underline it. Highlight it. Draw circles and stars around it. Because you're going to need it. If you don't need it right now, you're going to need it. Look at 1 Peter 4 verse 12. Beloved. He's talking to Christians. So are we Christians? So he's talking to us. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Some strange thing happened unto you. Notice the second word, beloved. That's the first word. What's the second word?
Think.
Yeah. Circle that. Yeah. Because when these things come, something's going to come to your think.
Come on.
To your think.
To your think.
It's going to come to your mind. There's going to be suggestions come to your mind. I'm helping somebody. I take that back. I'm not helping anybody. The Word of God's helping us tonight. Beloved, think it not strange. Now, the Greek literally says, don't host or give lodging or entertainment to these thoughts. That's not an exaggeration. I looked it up. That's what the Greek actually says. Actually, I mean more specific. Don't host or give lodging or entertainment to these strange thoughts is literally what the Greek says. Don't host. How many of you know thoughts can come, but what you do with them determines whether you host them or not. Don't host or give lodging or entertainment to these strange thoughts concerning fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. This verse is talking about guarding your thought life in fiery trials. This one's not a trial. This is a fiery trial. You're in the fire. You just got thrown in the burning fiery furnace. And you're being bombarded with thoughts and attacks and people and suggestions, and demonized people are saying things and all kinds of stuff. People are running you off the road and things are happening. And you meet mean people in the grocery store. Demons are coming out of the woodwork. And people are saying strange things and doing strange things.
Amen.
And maybe relatives are even saying, curse your God and die, you know, like Job. You're going under. Your faith, you ain't going to make it this time. And the devil said, that's right, you're not going to make it this time. God's forsaken you. You're not going to make it this time. He's talking about not taking these strange thoughts. How many of you know Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and the voice of strangers. He said, you will not follow. He didn't say you won't hear them. He said, you'll not follow them.
That's right.
You'll hear strange voices. When you go to take stands in faith, when you go to walk with God and obey the Spirit, you're going to hear strange voices. He didn't say you won't hear them. He's just saying you got to do the right thing when you hear them. And the right thing is, don't follow them. He said, the voice of strangers, don't follow. My sheep follow me, he's saying. They follow my voice, not strange voices. Oh, I'm getting some unction tonight. And the rest of the congregation is going to jump in here in a minute. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So what he's saying is that it is not strange to encounter these things. It is par for the course. It is normal. You're not abnormal. You're not unusual. What you are encountering is not strange.
Come on.
I must be doing something wrong. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. That's exactly what he wants you to think. I must be doing something wrong. Amen. So what's he talking? He's addressing your thought life in this verse. You understand what he's addressing? When is he saying these things come to your thoughts? In these fiery trials. In other words, when the devil turns the heat up. And like the Hebrew children, he makes it 7 times harder. You were doing fine. Until you became a part of Spirit of Faith Family Church. You know what I'm talking about? Then your relatives turn demonic. You haven't changed toward them at all. You're just as sweet as you ever have been toward them at all. But now towards you? Just keep looking straight ahead. Amen. So this verse is talking about guarding your thought life and not wondering what's going on when the devil turns it up 7 times hotter. Amen. Now this verse isn't on anybody's refrigerator, but John 16:33 says, in this world you will have tribulations. That's not the end of the verse. Come on now. That's not the end of the verse, but let's just stop right there for a minute before we finish it. In this world you'll have tribulation. Well, I don't know why I'm going through all this. Well, I'll tell you. 2 reasons. You're in this world where the Satan is the god of this world. And many people are under his influence. You know, if they're in spiritual darkness, they're under his influence. So you're in this world. You're not of it, but you're in it. Where Satan's the god. And you're going one way, and he's going, and everybody with him's going the other way. You're going upstream. And you're running into a lot of people going downstream. And a lot of the flow of the world pushing a totally different direction. That's one reason. And the second reason is you're pressing into enlargement. You're pressing into enlargement. When I came into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I came into an enlarged place spiritually. All sorts of things I didn't understand, I started understanding. All sorts of, and I started having spiritual manifestations, gifts of the Spirit starting to operate. And that was unusual for a lot of people around me, you know. So they didn't understand me, you know. So I'm going upstream, and I'm starting to hunger for God, and they're not. You know, and I'm starting to move forward spiritually, and they're not. In fact, they stayed at the same place spiritually. They've been for a long time. You know what I'm talking about? And they can't understand my change, this change. And I came into a lot of enlargement. And that was attacked viciously. People said things. Names were called. And they weren't lovely. Amen. I've been through a lot more than I've ever shared. Not trying to glorify the devil. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not trying to say, feel sorry for me. You've been through the same things. You've been through the same things. But the point is, you know, they think you're strange, and you look back from the spiritual perspective you're walking from and looking from in the Word of God, and you think them strange. Why would you be upset at somebody being healed? That's strange. You should rejoice. Somebody that was going to die, now the mama that was going to die, now she gets to raise her babies for the rest of her life.
Hello.
But people, we don't believe it that way. That's strange. That's strange. Y'all out there, you still listening? So anyway, you got to guard your thought life in these times. And your mind's going to start wondering what's going on, start tripping out. Amen? And the devil will come with a lot of answers. He will. He'll come with a lot of answers. None of them correct. He'll tell you, you're the strange one. Just cool your jets. You know what I'm talking about? Just back off of this greater move of the Spirit thing. Just back off of the speaking in tongues stuff. Just back off of faith and authority of the believer. And
Come on.
Just live a normal Christian life. Well, what is normal? Not what I've been seeing them walking in. That's not what I look at this, and it looks different in here than what they've been doing. I was just listening to some testimonies from people. I don't think they're alive anymore, but this was from back in the 70s. Some interviews of some folk in the Azusa that were kids in the Azusa Street Revival. Oh, man. That's normal. The way the things were back then, that was normal. That's the book of Acts. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Anyway, I don't know how I got off on all that. Well, I do, but I'm... So, you're going to encounter those things when you go to press into something that everybody else is not pressing into. And your mind can wonder what's going on, and the enemy will present answers that actually aren't true. And your mind, if you're not careful, will reason things out rather than hold to the Word of God. We as ministers are not supposed to let people think that they will not be opposed in their faith. Here he said, don't think it's strange. So we're not to let anybody think that's strange. Amen. That's normal. We're going to have to preach faith and what will come against you when you walk by faith. When you decide God spoke to me and said, this is his will for my life, and you start pursuing that, the devil's not going to celebrate and give you a whizzo button and clap his hands and say, congratulations, you escaped my holding back the knowledge of God's plan for your life. Now you know.
No.
Go ahead, waltz right on into it. No, there will be adversaries by the door. Get used to it. Don't think it's strange. And don't start why-me-ing and pity-partying and crying and say, well, I didn't have it this bad out in the world. Oh, you really want the world again? Is that what you want? People that say that, their elevator doesn't go quite all the way to the top. You just try going back to where you came out of, going back with the light you now have. You will not be opposed on the level you were opposed out in the world. You will be opposed at the new level of the light you have. You ain't seen strangeness until you go back. Are you with me tonight? So you're going to have to move forward. That's the only safe place. Y'all got to understand that. You got to face the opposition, not think it's strange, and you got to look at this stuff with a renewed mind. And here's what the new mind says. Here's an opportunity to get into enlargement. If the devil wasn't so scared of what's on the other side of this pressure, he wouldn't have all these reinforcements on this path through this door.
Yes.
To get to what I'm getting into. And fighting battles, you know, militaries against each other, fighting battles. When you find a place that is greatly reinforced, aha, there's something we want right there.
That's right.
And that's not a place to back away from. That's the place to take ground. That's the place to put a press on that. I said, that's the place to put a press on. Oh, glory to God. The spirit of faith loves this. The flesh says, not me, I'm out of here. I didn't sign up for this. But the spirit of faith loves this because it knows to get into greater things. To get to the throne, you got to go through Goliath. It knows it. And it says, oh, Goliath, I see you. You are my ticket to an enlargement. When you got all this stuff coming against you, you just go, with a renewed mind, you say, just like David, here's an opportunity for enlargement. Here's a chance to see some bigger things than I have ever, bigger miracles than I have ever seen, greater supply than I have ever seen. Ah, this is it, man. I said, this is it.
Amen.
Amen. And but you've got to exercise a press in faith to get into it.
Yes.
We're instructed as believers to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
The Bible tells us in Psalm 23 that there's a table spread in the presence of our enemies.
Yes.
We would have liked to have heard about the table, but not those enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the table is spread in the presence of our enemies, then all the receiving of the blessings that are on that table are going to have to be done in the presence of your enemies. While they're huffing, they're puffing, they're spouting fear, they're putting suggestions in your mind, telling you it's not going to work. You tried this before, and you failed. It didn't work. You're a misfit. You don't know how to believe God. Other people have faith. You don't. Theirs works. Yours doesn't. Just bombardment. Bombardment.
Come on with it.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So when that comes, just know you're when you go to reach for that what's on the table, there's going to be opposition. People that don't like opposition never get into enlargement. Now, the flesh never does. Don't misunderstand me. But the spirit of faith loves it. The spirit of faith eats giants for lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And takes ground. If you don't like that, then just count where you are in life right now as where you will be for the rest of your life. I, for one, refuse to do it. I, for one, refuse to do it. All right. So tell your neighbor, I don't know where you are, but I've decided where I'm going. I'm going for those blessings on that table. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. This is where the phrase, great victories comes out of great battles, came from. That's spoken by somebody who knew what I was talking about tonight. They knew that when you go to move forward in faith, you're going to encounter opposition. But they've learned. Let me just tell you this. If you'll just press through one of these things and stop backing up, but just keep on pressing and get into the enlargement in one area and get a taste for it. You came to church for the antics tonight, didn't you? That tastes so good. You look back and you say, all that opposition was a bluff.
Yeah.
Look at what he was trying to keep me out of. The next time he does that to me, now I know. Now I know that there's something he doesn't want me to get into. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching better than your amen. And you stood your ground and you got into it, and now you got a taste for it. Oh, watch out. I got a taste back in Bible school days, and I was hooked for life. I'm hooked for life. Don't try to cure me. I'm hooked. I'm hooked. Give me this mountain. That's what I like to hear. Give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's getting on some of you. Come on. Don't let the devil tell you you're doing something wrong because you're encountering this stuff. Opposition is Satan's strategy to stop forward movement in the more blessings. Devil doesn't want you to take that kind of ground. So he's bringing thoughts to try to stop you and back you out of it. But you've not failed just because they've come. You're not doing something wrong just because they've come. Actually, it means you're moving into more and succeeding. Somebody said, man, just all hell's breaking loose. What's happening? You're being enlarged. If you stand in all of that, you're being enlarged. Well, it sure doesn't feel like it. Exactly. That's exactly what he wants you to feel, and that's what he wants you to say. Isn't that right?
Yes,
just know the word is true.
Yes,
You're being enlarged. Won't seem like it. Won't feel like it. But you just keep acting in faith. Because you are. A-R-E. R. Big letters. R. Being enlarged. The first place you're being enlarged is on the inside. The second place is in your perseverance. Pastor Debbie and I have learned over the years that we've noticed a pattern. We looked at each other, I don't know, a few months ago, I don't know, close to a year ago maybe now. And she said something, and I thought, yeah, that's true. She said, you notice every time we go to believe God for something, and Satan really opposes us and pressures us, and we have to stand and persist. You notice, whenever it's all over, we always come out with more than we went in to receive to begin with.
Hallelujah.
I started thinking, I thought, you know, that's exactly right.
Amen. Amen.
And I thought, if he wasn't so blinded by his hatred and by his attempts to stop believers and just let them alone, you know what I mean? They wouldn't take near as much ground. I don't know what it is about human nature. You can tell me, maybe. But it seems like until we have to believe God, we don't. Now, that's not God's best. That's actually carnality. Spiritual people, they see the word and they say, I'm believing God because the word says it. But other people, too many times, they believe the word because they have to. I mean, their back's flat on the hospital bed. And if they don't, they're going under. They're not going to live any longer or something like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so there's something about that kind of, opposition that, we just sometimes don't take the ground that we should maybe until we're in that kind of place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So, really, the devil's working against himself. Now, I'll tell you why he does it. He does it because so often it works. Opposition gets people to cave in, cry, say, why me? Back off. Okay, I won't press so much because it draws these attacks and so forth. And you begin to put two and two together and realize every time I press, I get opposed. And so the flesh comes up with a wonderful idea. It thinks, I just won't press anymore. And Satan goes, got him. Got him. Exactly what he wanted them to do. Back off. But he runs the risk every time he opposes somebody, they take the momentum of the opposition, pressing them back, and use it to press them into the word further. Press them into expressing their faith stronger. Press them into digging in their heels and say, I'm not moving, I'm standing. Now he's got a dilemma on his hands. He's got to get them stopped doing that. And he'll try everything he knows how, everything in his book. But if they keep pressing into the word, God's going to keep giving them the answer. And they're not going to be ignorant to one of his devices. He's going to throw every fiery dart. He's going to throw every thought, every suggestion, bring every mean person and every person that's full of unbelief across your path to say, I had that and I never did get healed. Or my aunt had that and she died. And he's got to bring everything he can to oppose you. I know what I'm talking about. But if they press into the word and they keep getting their answers, they won't quit. And they'll get all the dross out. They'll turn that fire that Satan meant to destroy them into a fire to get the dross out of their faith. That's the risk he runs. He runs that risk. And if you will be one of those kind of people rather than one of those persons that puts up the white flag or the white hanky and says, you know, I give in, I'm quitting, I'll just leave you alone, devil. I won't bother you if you don't bother me. Making deals and saying, you know, I'll just be a, you know, just normal Christian. You know how people think. Won't be so radical, won't speak in tongues, won't lift my hands and praise the Lord. Won't speak what I believe, say it. I won't take authority over devils and stand for my healing. Believe in abundance and prosperity and tithe, and I'll just back off all this stuff. The devil, you know, he looks for people to make agreements like that. But if you won't do that, and you just decide, no, I'm pressing in harder. I'm feeding my faith more. I'm acting on it more. I'm speaking more. I'm taking the word and putting it in my mouth and saying, it is written.
Amen.
Then he's got a dilemma on his hands.
Yeah, that's good.
Because here's what's going to happen. You're coming into that enlargement.
Yes.
And he's got to hold out against that, but he can't. Because the word of God cannot return void.
All right.
It's not you that has to not fail, although that's part of it, but it's the word that you're standing on that can never fail.
Amen.
And you'll come out the other side and he has to say, uncle, and you get into your enlargement and now you know. If he had known you were going to do that, he would not have pressed you so much. Because he pressed you right into more strength spiritually, a greater degree of faith. You now got into enlargements of all different kinds. And he's gone, uh-oh. I shouldn't have pressed like that. Let's turn them on. Let's turn these things on him. What do you say? You can turn things that Satan meant to destroy you to turn it around to make him be the one that's running and saying, I wish I had never done that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's me right there.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's not normal in the Christian circles, but that's me. That's normal in the Bible. That's the reason the people that are in the book are in the book. Because they weren't normal. They're radical. God said, build a boat. There's a storm coming, a rain coming. Okay. Noah, you're not normal.
That's all right.
Amen. 100 years he's persecuted for that. Until glug, glug, glug. Isn't that right? Amen. And then everybody wanted in. They wanted, Noah, you know, we're family. You know, we love you. We're your neighbor. Hey, Noah, help, Noah. Noah says, hey, out the window, I didn't shut the door. I can't open it. That's what the Bible said. That's what God shut the door. Glory. Hallelujah. Do you have a press about your faith?
Yes, sir.
I said, do you have a press about your faith?
Yes.
By doors into more, there are adversaries. Just get used to it. Don't think it's strange. Isn't that right? Think right about these things. Think right. This is an opportunity. If you think right about it, you'll count it all joy when you encounter various tests and trials. You won't back up and say, oh, no, I'm not going down that route. No, you'll say, hey! Come on now. Here we go. We're going to see a great victory. We're going to see a big enlargement, you know? Stand up with me and shout about it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Let me tell you another area you'll experience this pressure, this press of the enemy, and that is around divine connections. When God brings you into a divine connection in the body of Christ, where somebody has something to impart into your life, they've got some revelation to impart, they've got some anointings to impart, they've got things to help prepare you for the plan God has for your life, there's going to always be a lot of pressure around those people. A lot, not from them, not from God, but from the enemy to try to get you disconnected from that. Satan encountered it whenever Jesus went to the, I mean, excuse me, Peter encountered it when Jesus went to the cross and he denied Jesus 3 times. He almost lost out because he encountered something he wasn't ready to stand against. You understand? So just know that. Amen. I've had more spiritual warfare. If you know what spiritual warfare means whenever I say that, I'm talking about this pressure, this opposition, come against me regarding divine connections than any 10 natural relationships put together. When I say natural relationships, I mean that have to do with, you know, natural families that don't really have a lot to do with your spiritual life or moving forward in the plan of God for your life. And people think these things are strange. They say, why is that? Why is that? Now you know. Now you know. There's always a press around a man or a woman of God. The woman with the issue of blood, when she came to receive her healing, she encountered a press. Amen. Something trying to tell her she can't get there. She can't get what he has. You have to fight that good fight of faith.